Okay, here we are for another TFT In Conversation podcast, and today we have Jutta Kill from the NGO, the European NGO FERN, visiting us. Jutta has come to Krasje here at our headquarters on a beautiful sunny day to talk to us about carbon offsetting and forests. So, Jutta, tell us about FERN.
Well, FERN is an environmental organisation, and environmental and social justice organisation, really. We monitor the impact of the European Union's policies and financial and trade flows on forest and forest-dependent communities in the Global South. And we've been doing that for over 10 years.
And what about your work in FERN? What's your focus area?
Since about 2000, the focus of my work has been to analyse how the carbon market designed to address climate change is not only not addressing climate change, but also is undermining the struggle for rights to the land of indigenous peoples and local communities.
So that's a pretty big topic, and I've heard you on BBC, so we're very privileged to have you speaking to us here today. But I know you've just come back from a period in Brazil, about 8 months in Brazil, and very fascinating, and you're going to make a presentation here to our colleagues about that. But perhaps with the people listening, you can just tell us about your trip to Brazil and what you were doing there.
I was there for almost 5.5 months, visiting different areas on the coast in Brazil, areas that used to be covered with the Atlantic rainforest. Today there is precious little left of it. A lot of it has been transformed not only to cattle ranches but also to plantations. And I was visiting communities to learn more, one, about the impact of large-scale eucalyptus plantations, but also to find out what the reality and the discussion is about using the carbon market, using carbon offsets for forest conservation. What I found was worrying, because a lot of the people who will be impacted and affected by those carbon offset projects that intend or claim to protect forests by using carbon finance haven't been talking to the communities. And the communities will be surprised, will see in many cases quite likely their access restricted to the areas that they've been using customarily without a big impact. And yet they will not stand to benefit from this flow of financing. Whilst on the other hand, the large deforesters will be able to tap into this new financial flow. And at the same time, we're still not addressing the underlying causes of deforestation. So I've come back from Brazil with maybe even more of a confirmation that carbon markets will not address deforestation. What's worse, they might undermine efforts to reduce forest loss because they will undermine forest people's rights.
And you know, this is not theory. You were telling me earlier about real practical examples where communities have had their rights to fishing areas and that completely closed off.
Yes, unfortunately, we're not only talking theory anymore. We are talking about practical examples that are existing already along the coast in Brazil. One case where a community that was practicing, continues to practice, exemplary small-scale, low-carbon agriculture, but who has seen access to their fishing grounds and to their hunting areas in the forest closed off by a carbon offset project. The carbon offset project would not have suffered in any way from community access to that land, but those communities don't have access to that land anymore. So the result of a carbon offset project presented as a way to address deforestation, in fact, may well increase global emissions because people have to leave the land. People have to seek more carbon-intensive lifestyles because they can't maintain their subsistence family agriculture the way they used to. And I think that's a tragedy because the driving force and the objective of any initiative must be to drastically reduce emissions on the global scale. Any initiative that will not result in drastic emissions overall will fail, and we can't really afford to fail.
And can damage people's lives in the process.
Indeed.
And I know you've got other examples of these voluntary carbon market projects elsewhere in the world causing similar concern for not only the indigenous people but actually not delivering the supposed forecast carbon benefits as well.
Yes, there is too many of those examples, unfortunately, and I think it's important now to learn the lessons from them, because there is a pattern with all of those projects, be they in Uganda, be they in Mozambique, be they in Bolivia, or be they elsewhere in the world. We see too many of those carbon offset projects that claim something else than the reality on the ground, and we can't afford to not learn the lessons from those projects. And one of the clear lessons to me is that I have yet to see a successful carbon offset project that really respects local community rights. And until there is certainty that that would be the case, there should be no continuation even with the planning for a carbon offset market.
And I mean, is this just a case of, you know, we haven't done it very much and we just don't know how to do it, and with a bit of practice we'll get it right? You know, there's obviously a lot of people lining up, rubbing their hands for, you know, the hoped for vast amounts of money that's going to flow through the forest carbon market. But, you know, I think it's very clear that what you're saying is that, you know, this is not a new market. These projects have been existing for some years, and mistakes, fundamental mistakes, are being made again and again and again that not only have impact on people's lives but aren't actually saving forest and certainly aren't stopping carbon emissions. So I mean, is this a thing, do you think, that we, you know, we're just not doing it right and we can do it better, or are we really talking about something that's fundamentally flawed here?
In our analysis, it's something that's fundamentally flawed. And a lot of people who promote the idea of carbon offsets say, well, there is no red projects yet, no projects that comply with the current framework. But all those projects have been compliant with previous frameworks, so why have they been done so badly? And where is the assurance that it would be any better now? I don't see that assurance anywhere. I certainly don't see it when I look at the international discussions around climate change and forests right now, where indigenous people's rights and local community rights are still not taken as something to respect and to safeguard. There is something to maybe secure as co-benefits if it then fits into the project outline. And I believe that is a fundamental shortcoming that must be fixed, but will not be fixed in the carbon if the financing is to come from carbon offset projects. Because what we have learned from carbon offsets in other industrial sectors is that sustainable development is not being achieved with carbon offsets. They don't do that. These offset projects look for the cheapest possibilities to reduce emissions to create carbon offset credits. And these cheapest possibilities to create carbon offset projects credits are not the projects that will support community forest management or that will support the acknowledgement and recognition of Indigenous people's rights. We should not expect the carbon market to deliver on those aspects.
It's not designed to do that, is it? It's designed for money. And here at TFT, you know, we support the idea of making money out of good forest management. There's no problem with that. That's how we think it gets paid for. But it's a question of, can it deliver good forest management? And against this background, carbon emissions continue to rise anyway.
That's another aspect of it. For one, even in the best case classroom theory context, a carbon offset project does not reduce emissions. I think that must be very clear. In the very best case, and that very best case will hardly exist, but in the very best theoretical case, the result will be no net increase in emissions, because the emission that's saved in one place with the carbon offset project gives justification to an increase in emissions elsewhere. And that elsewhere is in the industrialized countries where we need to make drastic emission cuts. And giving us the opt-out clause to pay somebody else somewhere else for non-verifiable and unverifiable reductions just is not a good way to address the climate crisis. In addition to that general problem of non-verifiable reduction claims that every carbon offset project has, it gets even more complicated when we try to do the math and the number crunching for forests. Forests are very dynamic, living ecosystems. You can't reduce them to a single number of carbon, tons of carbon stored in it. That number will change with the dynamics of the forest. And to pretend to be able to measure the complexity of forests and reduce that to a single number, I think is a very arrogant approach in a way. But that is what is needed if we are to use the carbon market and carbon trading to finance it, because on the other end of the equation is a very clearly quantifiable amount of extra fossil fuel emissions that will be justified or that will be allowed to be released into the atmosphere. So to supposedly offset that, there needs to be an equally solid number on the other end. But that solid number on the other end, i.e. the number or the tons of carbon stored in a forest, will never be at a comparable soundness than how much carbon is released from fossil fuels.
So there's a lot of discussion now coming around forestry carbon projects. Everyone's getting excited towards Copenhagen. Yes. It's great to see forests on the agenda, people talking about what we can do to conserve forests. But, you know, it really seems that the logic of offsetting just doesn't work fundamentally, but certainly doesn't work when it comes to talking about forests. That's your experience from what you've seen in the field.
Yeah, I would absolutely subscribe to that. It will not work. Carbon offsets have not delivered on any sustainable development benefits at the same time as reducing emissions. They have not. And there is no reason to believe that it will be any different when forests are included. On the contrary, it's very likely that the situation will get worse because you have even less quantifiable situations to deal with. And there is a lot of people who depend on forests for their way of life. What will happen to those people? And the indication already is they will be evicted from their lands. They will be faced with access to areas they need closed off, and we will be going back to a guns and guards approach to forest conservation. I thought we'd left that behind.
And it was badly proven, model that was proven to be badly wrong.
And it needs to be left behind. And if the climate debate will bring back that approach, then I think we have lost a lot.
Yeah. And not saving carbon emissions in the process. Between now and December, I guess you're going to be pretty busy, Jutta, looking at these issues. What's the plan for you and Fern to try and bring your findings and your studies from Brazil and elsewhere to the attention of negotiators?
I think it's urgently needed that people who already have experience, in many cases negative experience, with those carbon offset projects are heard in the international debate, and that will be a focus of our work, to open the space, political space, for those communities and for the people who've worked with those communities to bring to the attention of negotiators the reality of those offset projects, and to make very clear at the same time that there is other ways of financing forest conservation. Other ways that will be much more sensible, that have a much bigger chance of delivering results, i.e. of reducing deforestation and the emissions that come with deforestation. And at the same time also delivering on addressing the underlying causes, the drivers of deforestation, something which the carbon market will not do.
And these alternatives can still involve private finance. I mean, a lot of people are concerned about the concept of setting up a fund whereby governments put money into it, and they argue that'll never raise enough money, and therefore we need private finance, therefore we need carbon offsettings. And really what you're saying is that that logic doesn't hold. There are ways of getting private sector finance into this equation of trying to save forests without having to go down an offsetting route.
Absolutely, there is. And there has not been going nearly enough creative thought into the multiple possibilities of tapping into private sector funding in addition to public funding to finance forest conservation. Levies on oil and coal transactions have been mentioned. They have been mentioned again by the Brazilian Minister of the Environment recently. I think there is a lot of possibilities to raise, with a very small levy on those fossil fuel international transactions, sufficient finance to protect large areas of forest and to reduce and address the drivers of deforestation. There also is, I think, a lot of question marks still as to the real cost of reducing deforestation. It's a question of your assumptions that you put into your equation, or the assumptions that you put into your equation. They determine the outcome of your financial requirements. And there's a lot of activities that could drastically reduce emissions and could drastically reduce deforestation that don't cost a lot, starting with securing indigenous people's rights, starting with looking at the impact of industrialized country consumption patterns. Large areas of the Amazon are deforested to grow soy to feed to our cattle in Europe. Well, maybe there is a need for an education program in Europe about the cost of consuming meat to the extent that we do. That doesn't cost a lot, but could have a massive impact on deforestation rates in the Amazon, which are driven by and large by international commodity prices in the agricultural sector.
You got a lot of work ahead of you, Jutta, and we wish you the best with it, and we'll obviously be staying in touch and seeing how you go, and thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah, thanks for the interview.
Thanks, Jutta.